Well, the other thing I wanted to say, well, the other thing I'd like to say too is a lot of, for example, you know,
I got my feet in cement, I got my head in the clouds. You might call me demented, but I am too damn proud. I got a hunger for something outside the status quo. So pull up your chair. We are full automatic, we are out and about. We are singing hallelujah with our hearts torn out. No need to beat on what you already know. Your place has been set.
Hello there, my sweet and most wonderful lovies. It is your Auntie Vera Charles, and I am back again, along with two of the loveliest human beings that have ever graced planet Earth.
Good Lord.
For another episode of Eat This Hot Show. And don't we all love Eat This Hot Show? I would like to first introduce the ever lovely, the ever talented, the ever popular Ms. Wanda Wisdom, a drag queen extraordinaire. Hello, Wanda.
I would like to now be referred to solely on this program as Lady Gaga. Thank you.
All right, then, Lady Gaga. And on the other side, doing whatever, actually way on the other side of the pond, in a place that's scary and furren, is the ever fat, the ever bloated, the ever nasty, my favorite lesbian on the planet, Ms. Madge Weinstein. Say hello, Madge.
Hi, you know, I'm 6,000 miles away from you and it's still not enough.
I know. Isn't it amazing? You can't
so
get
amazing.
Far enough away.
Yep.
Well, I'm so happy to be here today, ladies, and to be hosting our wonderful extravaganza. And
is that
as
a
I was
word,
speaking,
be hosting?
Yes.
It's like beheaded.
It's like benighted
start
and be hosting.
Bedraggled. Wow. I like bedraggled.
That sounds good. I think that we should start out, before we do anything else, with a little explanation as to where, why, and how you are where you are, Ms. Weinstein. Spill it, baby.
What's to tell? I said I'm going to Europe, so I'm in Amsterdam at Amy's house. Long-term listeners of my show know who Amy is. And she had a baby, so now she lives in a new apartment in Amsterdam. And I'm just here in my little room watching the rain fall. It's very nice.
Oh, it's raining in Amsterdam now.
It's pretty normal.
Did the Nazis still occupy Amsterdam
today?
Well, she has to stay in an attic room.
I was going to say, are you in an attic?
Yeah. They bring her the food and slip it under the door, and she can't make any noise from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah. And there's a very helpful woman here named Meep.
Frau Meep?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I can't believe you're in Amsterdam and all you have to say is I'm in Amsterdam. You must understand, from those of us that are not world travelers, to be in Amsterdam is very exotic and exciting. I mean, the best I can do is get to Van Nuys.
Yes, but what you have to understand is I'm in Amsterdam, but I'm talking to you.
Going to be one of those shows.
You know, maybe, does this ring a bell? Wherever you go, there we are.
That's right.
Ouch.
Well, where are you today, Wanda?
My name is Lady Gaga. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
You don't have to call me that. You can call me Lady Wawa. I am in the
basement.
You know,
Camille Paglia wrote a wonderful article about you, Lady Gaga.
I thought it was a piece of trash, but we can talk about that later. In my basement boudoir, as per usual, here in the festive fall wonderland that is Minneapolis.
Now, are you at Lavender Studios or are you home?
Yes, I am at Lavender Studios in my professional boudoir.
Now, I'm curious as to how you can take time off from your busy schedule there at Lavender to record a program that doesn't have anything to do with Lavender.
Because
you sneak?
We now get to say Lavender Magazine more than one time, so that's free advertising. So that's that's worth the price of my participation.
Oh, okay. Well, I would like to tell everybody, because I know everybody's dying to know, I'm in my home studio in Woodland Hills, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. Isn't that exciting?
Ooh.
People are thumbing through their phone books right now trying to figure out where you live.
I know.
Do people even have phone books?
I saw a crazy person holding two of them in my building just before I left. So that made me glad I left.
What, did he have a long? I was going to say, did he have a long white beard? And was did he have?
No,
a robe
it was
on?
The. It was a woman. It was a crazy lady that's always talking to herself and cussing everyone out as she does. I wish she didn't live in my building, but she does. And she was holding like two phone books on the same page, like one phone book inside the other, both opened. The same phone book opened to what I would imagine to be the same page. You know, they like symmetry.
They still deliver phone books to our house. So phone books are still being manufactured. How do you ladies get your phone online?
Oh my
no doubt.
God, are we really?
No, I'm curious.
Have we hit
I'm
a
really
new
curious.
Low?
I'm curious.
Well, I don't call anyone.
Okay.
I only call cellular phone numbers, so those don't tend to be in phone books. So
it's true. The whole thing's kind of useless.
But I've heard, is this true that cell numbers are going to become public soon?
Ugh. I hope not.
I have no idea. I haven't heard that.
No, they better not. Like if this people called me now, do you know how much it would cost me? Zillions of dollars if I answered the phone.
People that many
zillions?
People want to call you?
No, I'm saying if they did, it would cost me zillions of dollars if they called me. So if like my mobile number was in the phone book and I got like dumb ass calls, it would cost me like, you know, a lot of money for each wrong number.
Well, that'd be cool because you could kind of like bankrupt the people you hate.
Yeah, me.
Now on the. As we began this show today, we were talking briefly before we hit record, and I was explaining my inherent difficulty when I'm the host of this program because attempting to bring topics to this show, I find that the topics that the two of you would like to talk about are normally topics that bore the living shit out of me. And so, therefore, I have a difficulty trying to find things to talk about. My instinct is always to go to personal things, to what's going on in your life, what has gone on in your life, what's made you the people that you are. And I don't think that that gives either one of you particular happy pants. And so I came upon a conundrum this morning of trying to find out what we should all be speaking about. However, with that caveat, at the end of the last program, Wanda, I'd hope that you remember this. You mentioned when the subject of Muslims came up. You said that you wanted you
Muslikowskis.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to speak about Muslims and. The hatred and the stuff surrounding them. Do you remember that at all, Ms. Wanda? Ms. Gaga? Excuse me.
Lady Wawa. Gaga. You can just call me Wawa.
Lady. Okay, Wawa. Lady Wawa.
And I don't know about Madge, but you're kind of Skypey. I mean, it's fine. I'm able to hang on there, but I don't know if Madge is having a hard time understanding you.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so it's probably
not
just
yet.
Me. You know, I feel like everybody has kind of, well, I don't know, but I feel like everybody's gotten to the point now where they're like, why are we talking about this shit so much? I don't mean us. I mean like mainstream media when it comes to, you know, this sort of Islamic freak out that's been going on in the media. I mean, I recently got cable just so I could get high-speed internet, and I watched a little bit of...
You've stepped into the 18th century.
I know. I watched a little bit of the CNNs. Oh, my God. It's just one big, giant, manufactured freak, you know, Muslim fear fest. And
I'm sorry.
They're the enemy du jour.
Are we talking about Lady Gaga?
Yes.
No, we're talking about Muslims.
Okay.
They're the enemy du jour. And I think, I can't remember who was it who said it, but we have to have somebody to hate. And we have to have somebody, because we were talking about last time, about how we become these insular clubs. And depending on the club that we belong to, we've got to form enemies. And the Club America now has decided that the Muslims are the enemies, the enemy, rather.
Nothing. Yeah, it's really disgusting. But it's also like, I have to tell you what's going on over here in the Netherlands. What's going on in the Netherlands is, and I've heard this from a lot of people, like four separate people, friends over here who are all very liberal and, you know, and nice or whatever. And
that doesn't always go hand in hand, by the way.
Whatever. But so... There are a lot of gay bashings here right now. So many gay bashings that gay people are not really able to hold hands in public, and they're pretty much told not to. And they've been beatings left and right, and the beatings are pretty much
all
by these Moroccan youth. It's not helping matters, you know. And there's quite an anti-Muslim sentiment here, and I don't think it helps the case when. Are Moroccans Muslim? They're Muslim, aren't they?
Or
are they
I not? Wouldn't know.
I always get the Moroccans and the Turks mixed up. Do you know why entered?
I'm assuming the great proportion of them are, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment here. In fact, this one guy, Herr Wilders, spoke at 9/11, and he was getting the audience on 9/11 day in New York to chant a no mosque here, no mosque here. Anyway, I think there's a problem with the fact that Islam is a very violent religion, and I think you have to look at both sides.
Well, Islam, now, and believe, I don't have an opinion. I mean, I do have an opinion, but I don't. Yeah. I'm not a supporter or a non-supporter here. I'm simply curious. Most religions are they advocate violence.
Right.
And so
yeah.
I don't see Islam as being. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
Go ahead,
Wanda. No, finish your thought, and then I'll jump in.
Okay, I was saying I don't particularly see Islam as being particularly more violent than, let's say, the Palestinians and the Israelis that are blowing each other up over there. So I don't see maybe we have Muslims in our country acting
right.
violent.
Maybe that was the wrong thing to say. I don't think that's probably not true, at least based on what I know. It's, at least as far as I know, it's not any more violent than the Christian, you know, the Quran is not any more violent than the Christian Bible. I don't know. I think they're both kind of crap. But I think what's going on in a lot of these Muslim countries is, such as Iran, is where you have people being killed or hung because they're gay. You have it okay to do an honor killing if your child is gay and hang them on the tree in your front yard. This happens in Iraq too. And we have there is a culture of that is starting to come into Europe. And, you know, none of this has anything to do with should cause any sort of hatred of Muslims at all. But the problem is, I think it helps shed light on why there is the problem. I don't know.
I, for my own two cents, I think it's very easy, and I feel like I see this more and more. You have people on the right and the left who have come up with reasons why it's okay to fear a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. And both, you know, anybody on any ideological bent is going to have somebody that they dislike, and that's going to lead to irrational fear of those people. And so I think that it's kind of like, you know, saying the gays, I think I've made this analogy before, so I don't necessarily need to repeat myself, but like the gays tend to have more of the AIDS, so you can just, you know, so that somehow equates the gays with being
AIDS-y.
And, you know, people say, well, see, the facts show. So people using the facts, like more Muslims, you know, kill people. Because I got in this argument with someone over Twitter once upon a time about, you know, and they just kept throwing these examples of Muslims killing people based on their religious ideology. And to me, it's like, just because that's the case does not mean that Muslims, by their very nature, are more violent than anybody else. I mean, you know, all you have to do is go back in history. And so it is, I think, a more complicated discussion than just saying this religion is more violent, because ultimately a religion...
No, that's why I took back what I said.
Sure, sure. And ultimately a religion is just, it's people. So if a people are more violent, then let's find out why they're more violent. Like maybe the Moroccans in... Amsterdam or in the Netherlands, you know, feel like they have no hope. Maybe they don't have job opportunities. Maybe they're economically depressed. I'm making giant.
Yeah, but you don't.
Maybe they hate fags.
No.
Yeah,
you don't go beat up a queer because you're out of work.
That's a bit extreme.
Okay, let me finish my statement. I know I'm making sweeping generalizations, but what I'm saying is you have to look at why things are happening before you can just attribute an increase in violence to somebody's religion, you know? So there are Muslims in Holland that are, you know, beating up gay people. That's not the fault of Islam. We don't know that. It could be, I guess, but you'd have to find out first what's motivating these crimes. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm just, instead of just sort
of... Also, I would love to see, you know, the response of the Amsterdam law enforcement if it were Caucasian women that were being beaten by Moroccans, and how much probably that would be quelled by the law enforcement. I find that when it's gay bashing, that there tends to be. There seems to be a lot more we'll get to it when we can kind of concept. And I don't know if that's the case in Amsterdam, but I have a feeling because we are a minority still.
No, you're right. It is. They are largely ignoring it, but there's supposedly some new mayor who says he's going to help, but he doesn't have that many teeth from what I understand.
Right.
But, you know,
it would be great.
You say you got to look at what can... You know, this has been going on a while. I mean, there are people trying to figure out what's going on here, but you can't.
It's just monstrous.
You can't figure out what's going on behind hate killings. That's why they're considered different legally. I mean, nobody knows why the Jews were killed, really. Why people killed the Jews. It's hate. It's irrational. So I don't know that you can ever figure out.
Yeah, but then
why.
To simply
well,
just
with the
say,
Jews, I think it was just their attitude. They're annoying people.
But then people take those leaps. For example, in this country, we incarcerate, you know, one out of every, what, five black men?
Yeah.
And you can't just, you know, if you were to just start saying, well, you know, it's kind of that argument.
Right. But what I'm saying is not that that's necessarily true. What I'm saying is... I think in order to shed light on why there's so much anti-Muslim sentiment in our country, it helps to look at things like that. Like,
oh, sure, because
and,
they get
to
fed
try
this...
and see it the way those people see it. It's... For example, when you look at abortion, my uncle told me this. He's a physician. He told me a long time ago. He says you have to understand, Madge. He calls me Madge because that's my name. He said, Madge, you have to understand these people. Think that you're really they think you're murdering somebody. They really think it's like you killing somebody. That's what they think they're doing to this fetus. You know. So I'm just trying to.
Well, that goes that goes back to the concept of these beliefs that people have. And a lot of it is wrapped around religion
and fundamentally and ignorance.
Absolutely, but see. I'll say this again, and it gets me in a lot of hot water every time I say it, but I have to say it because it's my truth. People who are religious are ignorant people. They're naive people. To have belief in these fantasies that were man-made, and just because they're thousands of years old doesn't make them true. Yes, it does. Well, there is an inherent naivete and an inherent not wanting to look at reality in it. And you have to, when you have those convictions, you have to have them so deeply planted that they can't be shaken with logical argument. And something that is that deeply inside of you, it makes it okay to go out and kill somebody in the name of that religion.
Well, I think there's also a sociological aspect to it that has nothing to do with religion. I mean, really, Hitler, the Nazis had very little going on. Religion had very little to do with that situation.
Well, sure, and they perhaps were antagonistic this, toward religion.
Perhaps this group, you know, and it clearly is largely Muslim youth doing this. But perhaps it's more about group dynamics and why is this particular subculture doing this as a group, you know? What's going on, you know, as a group that's causing this?
Well, the other thing I wanted to say, well, the other thing I'd like to say too is a lot of, for example, you know, the news media, and this is, again, this is where people, I think, develop a lot of these beliefs, is they see time, you know, in our country, for example, you see night after night after night after night after night, black man gets arrested, black man kills somebody, black man deals drugs. And so you start to believe, and you've got liberals who believe, well, these poor blacks, they just don't have the education, and if they had the same opportunities, and then you have the people on the right saying, well, these blacks, there's just inherently something wrong with them. And neither of those cases is true. There's probably something.
What is true?
I don't know, but you certainly don't form your opinions based on watching mainstream news.
What is true is that blacks and other minorities like Latinos get put in jail for little tiny crimes like drug possession, while white people that do great big gigantic
all
crimes.
I'm saying
like
by making
dump
that
oil in the ocean don't go to jail.
By all I'm saying by making that statement is that there's always something far greater and more complex going on, and to simply start saying, well, more Muslims are, you know, beating up gay people, people are going to then filter that through their own ideology. So, you know, the more liberal ones will have their explanation. And
well, most people will be happy that it's happening. You know, most people don't like gay people. So it's no big deal that gay people are getting beaten up.
About America. I question whether that's true in America, but I definitely don't think it's true here in Holland.
Well, then why isn't something being done more so than it is, if that's the case?
I don't know, because ultimately it comes down to law enforcement, I guess, and it comes down to them not doing
it. Well, it comes down to people's outrage.
Crime always happens. I mean, Chicago's horrible with, you know, dozens of murders a month, and you know, but unless you have a cop, you know, every square foot, you're not going to stop them. The criminals always
but
know.
But you agreed with me, had it been white women that these Moroccan youth were beating.
Oh, I think they could do a lot better. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Again, it's not simple as either simple explanation. Like it's only a law enforcement problem because we know that that's not, deterrence doesn't always stop crime. And again, there's no easy answer, frankly.
A lot of the Germans were waiting for Hitler to get rid of all the communists before they did anything. And it's just, to me, it smacks of that so much. You know, let's get rid of the fags or let's get rid of the blacks or whatever, and then we can live our lives.
But I think it's more selfish than, I mean, that's just my interpretation, is that it's far more about, I don't want to do anything because I don't want to stop what I'm doing. I want to go about my business and live my life, and I don't give a shit about these other people. More than it's about, I specifically hate and despise, which of course there are those people. But I think the true tragedy in something like, you know, World War II or any time, you know, something like that happens, is that people are just like, it's not me, I'm not thinking about it, I'm not worried about it, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Catholic, I'm not a communist, I'm not a homosexual, what the hell do I care?
Yeah.
And then, you know, well, like apathy Pastor Newell or whatever his name was, the guy that made that analogy, then all of a sudden you turn around and you're alone.
Did you hear what happened today about it was some this YouTube thing that I guess has gone viral, where some preacher was, it's always a preacher, it's so ironic, you know, some preacher was burning a holy book, or he had just poured gasoline on this Quran, and then he like was saying, I am going to burn this Quran that's in my hand. And this guy, because there were protesters of the people burning it, this guy on a skateboard rolled past, grabbed the Quran, and said, you don't have a Quran.
And he stole it. That was, yeah. John Stewart did a wonderful piece on this, and he put that clip in there.
I didn't know it was old.
No, I think it was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And that's yesterday here, which is yesterday today. There.
I don't get it.
Well, I think that basically hatred is rampant, and hatred is it is aimed at whoever your particular group decides are the bad guys. And I keep bringing it back to what I can relate to, which is being gay, and the we are so many different groups' targets that it's, I mean, this teabagger guy that on his Facebook was talking about Matthew Shepard. Did you hear anything about this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the guy he got.
What, I can't.
The guy from
Girdle.
So there was a guy in Montana that was the, you know, head of the Tea Party.
Tim Ravindahl, is that it?
Ravindahl. And yeah. They basically, the board of, you know, the Montana Tea Party Board of Directors decided to get
those are the bigwigs, baby. Don't you laugh at them. They'll come after you in Amsterdam.
That's fine.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they know where Amsterdam is.
Are they Moroccan? So yes. They got together and decided that because Mr. Ravindahl or whatever his name is made some Facebook posts where some guy said something like, fruits are pretty, especially when you hang them up or something.
Oh, my God. I got the quote. I think fruits are decorative, hung up where they can be seen and appreciated. Call Wyoming for display instructions. Now, and Ravindahl responded, where can I get that Wyoming printed instruction manual? So they're talking, obviously, about Matthew Shepard.
So the Tea Party got together and ousted him. But now, I haven't followed up, but I feel like I saw a headline that said they were considering reinstalling him again.
Of course.
I'm really suspicious of this Tea Party supposedly, you know, embracing the gays. That's obviously just a ploy to get votes, and it's ridiculous. But
can I share with you something that happened to me?
Please do.
Over the weekend, I was nude. In the shower.
That's horrible. Oh no!
In the shower at
and,
the
and
gym.
And from what I understand, you're particularly well endowed. Isn't that the truth?
What?
Were you blindfolded?
No, I was unclothed on a Saturday morning at the gym. Known as the firm, and lo and behold, guess who was next to me?
Who?
Matthew Shepard.
Oh God!
No. Oh God! I just love the fact that we can go from zero to wholly inappropriate.
Okay, what?
Joe Salmanese.
Oh,
no kidding.
The head of the HRC. He was actually in my aerobics class on Saturday morning because he was in town for our annual HRC dinner.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But anyway, so.
So he was bouncing around like a Nelly with all y'all?
He was in the shower, and was bouncing around, and then he quit about halfway through because it's a hard class. And
did you touch him?
I did not touch him, but I was like, I can't believe I'm sitting here next to Joe Salmanese, and I'm angry at him for something, and I almost, you know, I wanted to turn around and confront him.
Did you slap him in the balls?
I wanted to, but I didn't because I was like, because you know how, like, you think, God, this would make for a great podcast story?
Right.
But then I'm here in the shower naked, and I don't want to be rude.
You know, you can't just
by virtue of the fact that you're naked in the...
You really can't just confront people in any setting, I think. Especially the shower. Come on.
Now, apropos of only a little bit here, why do you keep twittering. I'm
tweeting.
At the firm.
It's tweeting. I wish people wouldn't say twittering. It's tweeting.
Well, from now on, I'll say tweeting. Why do you keep tweeting, I'm at the firm? I don't give a shit where you are. Why do you tweet, I'm at the firm?
I don't mind if she tweets
with
that.
The address.
I don't like when people tell you what to tweet.
Okay, so here's the deal.
You're at the firm. You can tweet you're at the fucking firm. And Vera, if you don't want to read it, you can unfollow the thing.
No. Do me a favor, Matt. Shut your mouth for just 5 seconds if that's humanly possible for you. And I want an answer from Wanda why you do it.
I don't know that it's possible from either of you. However, I tweet.
You got five. I'm done with the five. Want another five?
Yeah, give me another five.
All right.
I yield to the gentle lesbian. From the great
no, don't
state
yield.
Of Illinois.
Don't yield to the lesbian. I'm curious. I'm truly
That's
curious.
That's just a function of Foursquare, and I've stopped doing that for the most part because it used to do that automatically when I would check in on Foursquare, but like, you know, nobody gives a shit.
Exactly.
Generally speaking.
But I like the idea of Foursquare, but I think practically it serves no purpose because nobody cares.
Here's what I think it serves the purpose for.
For those of us
all
that don't know what Foursquare is, could you explain it before you say what purpose it
you
serves?
You check into places. So it's like geolocation, social networking, blah, blah, blah. So it's basically
the idea is you know where your friends are. Like, oh, I'm at the bowling alley. Oh, look, Sally and Girdleface are at the bowling alley too.
Yes, and it's good if your friends go to Foursquare to find out where you are, if they want to know.
If they stay home all the time, because it really doesn't do much good to check in at your own house every day.
Although you could probably award yourself coupons, but
Go ahead.
Let me just finish this last little thing.
Please do.
I will only, from this point forward, generally check in on Foursquare where it would show up in one of my network feeds like Facebook or Twitter if it's somewhere cool, like for the
so
first
you wouldn't
time.
You wouldn't want to have Foursquare if you were gay in Amsterdam because then the Moroccans could track you down really easy. Isn't that true?
Yeah, actually, that is true.
Mm-hmm. Correct, because
but you have to be a friend to see them. You have to accept a friendship. It's like Facebook in that regard.
Yeah, unless you are publishing it in your Facebook feed, and then presumably, then it goes on the settings of your Facebook. But whatever. Yes. So you know, I'm over the whole like here. I'm checking in here. I'm checking in here. I'm checking in here. And now I'll just do it if it's someplace cool.
Well, evidently you didn't. You must have gotten over it recently because Vera's bitching about it now.
Well, she is
when
a little
behind.
When
was the last time you saw one of these updates, Vera?
I don't remember. It's just that every time it pops up, I think to myself, I don't care that you're at the firm. I don't care. And it gives the address of the firm.
Yeah, but
I care when someone says, I'm at the zoo and I just saw the most beautiful ocelot. I think to myself, oh, that's nice. You know, going to the zoo and seeing an ocelot, and that's nice. But when you see something that looks like it's like computer generated exactly the same way over and over again, mm-hmm. that's my beef. Sure. It isn't that it was. Hey, I'm at here doing this because for people that I have followed on Twitter, I am interested in what they're doing on a casual basis. But not if I see something that looks spammy or computer generated, and that's what these things look like. They look exactly the same every time. So that was my beef.
Maybe I appreciate it. I think Vera is a typical I think you speak for a lot of people in that regard, only in that regard.
Oh, okay. Only in that regard.
Yes. Not the whole racist Hispanic employing thing.
No, you know, we could talk about that because I would really like to clarify.
Oh,
where
please. You've clarified it like 20
times.
We know
you're not a racist.
You're broke. You're
overextended. No. And first of all.
You love Mexicans. You have several friends who are Mexicans.
No, that's not the case. See, you're totally ill-informed. You're also in a very, very, very nasty mood.
I think she's actually ill-formed.
Well, that's
obvious. Well, that goes without saying.
That we know about that. We do.
No, but you know what you, I am loathe.
I know you are, but what am I?
I loathe to give you any form of a compliment, but you once again said something that I had not really thought about before just a little while ago. And it, once again, you've made me think about something.
Can we have a sound effect for that?
Why do you make me work so hard? I'll think about a sound effect.
Vera,
but
what's
the
point? Say it. What was it that made you think so hard?
I said what we were talking about, the inordinate number of black people and or people of color, basically, in the slammer.
Oh, of course she goes for the blacks.
Right, she likes the blacks. Yeah.
Go ahead. What you said was that that minorities tend to be arrested for minor crimes as opposed to white people who get off for whatever reason.
They're not even prosecuted in the first place, like the white-collar criminals, the people that spill oil into the Gulf, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I don't want to take it to that level because that really diffuses your argument. Uh-huh. I'm talking about if you have a nice little a white boy and a nice little black boy, and they've both done the exact same thing. You know, they've both taken something from the convenience store. The concept here is that the black kid's going to end up in front of some kind of legal action where the white kid may not.
Well, the white kid's also less likely to get arrested in the first place for doing the same thing.
And I think that's something that needs to be obviously looked into with.
I wish there was I know there's got to be a documentary out there that talks about the prison system in the United States, but I know that the little that I've paid attention to that particular issue, it's hard not to believe that there's some just sort of, you know, institutional
thing
about our culture and the way that we treat young black men, that it just inherently criminalizes being young and black in a way that's just so eerily echoing of slavery. I don't know. I mean, it could be.
Yeah. Well, actually, Bill Moyers did a documentary on that and how slavery is not really dead. Yeah.
Because then we put, you know, we incarcerate, you know, 20% or whatever. I wish I had the names or the amounts so I don't sound like a retard. But it's to the point where, you know, you incarcerate this generation, basically, and then, you pay them like a quarter, and then you make them do all this work. It's just, it's really kind of surreal if you step back for a minute and look at it.
I never, ever thought that. And truly haven't. I don't think, and I've never thought that that people of color, black people, Mexican people, whatever, are like inherently violent or the real prejudiced, ugly shit has never been in my thought processes. But I always have wondered why the population of prisons is so colored.
Just said colored.
I mean, colored in. And I mean, I said it very purposefully, not as in colored man, but as in colored as all different colors as opposed to white is what I was trying to make
diverse.
There, not colored people. Oh, Christ, you two. Anyway, that has always been a curiosity to me, but it hasn't been a judgment. And I think that there's a big difference between curiosity and judgment. And I think most people in this country judge. And they see that,
well,
and they place,
human,
they make.
Yeah. I think that's just.
Well, they make a judgment
in general.
Call.
It's like people are lazy. They just, I turn on the Fox News, and Fox News tells me them Muslims are scary. You got to run from them.
I wonder who would our enemy be had it not been for 9/11. I wonder who it would be presently.
It was the gays for quite a while there. I mean, they ran an entire election. You know, fearing us.
I think it'd be you, Vera.
What? You got Skypey, Madge?
It would be you.
Oh, yes. Well, that's always the case. I don't know why I'm on your list today, but I'm happy to be here. Now, before we talked about you wanted to mention something about Wednesday?
Madge?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I was at the post office lapsed week, and I was mailing two of my DVDs, which are still available, though you'll have to wait till the end of the month for me to mail them. But anyway, I was mailing the international ones because I have to do that at the post office. And I draw little pieces of artwork on the back, you know. And Wednesday, she said when I got up there, you know, I showed her, I gave her the things to put the postage on. And first she yelled at me because I didn't put the country on. She made me put it on, like instead of just writing it on. She gave it back, gave me a pen. You do it. But anyway, Wednesday. But so she's, so after that, she looked on the back. She said, oh, who's the artist? And I said, I said, you think it was a child, don't you? She says, yes. I go, it was me. And she's like, oh. Wednesday looked very embarrassed. And I felt ashamed.
My God, it's like you almost set yourself up to be humiliated.
Yeah, exactly, by Wednesday. I deserved it, though. Because, you know, I was a bad postal customer. I didn't put the country on it. I deserved to be humiliated.
This sounds very odd.
What do you mean? I was a bad.
You just, yeah, it sounds like a scene out of a John Waters film.
I was a bad boy, girl. I mean, it's a bad girl.
Were you wearing a diaper?
No.
Oh.
I wanted to talk, though, about annoying people on airplanes, though.
Sure.
Well, feel free.
I was in coach, which is horrible. And I was in the, you know, blood coach, which is the big, one of those big wide airplanes with five in the middle and then two on each side, and it's blood coach. Just horrible. Like a, one of those factories that makes the cow meat from the cows, you know, with the feces.
That would be a slaughterhouse.
Right, that thing. And so next to me, I have the aisle seat on the side with two. Next to me on the left is this Jewish guy with two boys in the row of four or five or whatever it is.
Did you see his penis?
No, I did not. I knew he was Jewish because I could just tell.
Oh. You know?
So I noticed.
You guys can sniff each other out, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And so the kid who was closest to me had, he was being quiet on his iPad. He had an iPad. He was playing games. The father was doing something on his iPhone. And the other kid, the little one, was screaming bloody fucking murder half the fucking flight. I mean, blood-curdling, top-of-the-lungs scream that made everybody in the plane turn around like every 5 minutes. It was horrible. And this guy took out another iPad, the Jewish guy. He takes out another iPad and tries to give the kid an iPad. Like, here, this piece of silicon will help. And then he takes out his fucking laptop and starts typing on his laptop while his kid is screaming bloody murder. So he's three people. They've got, you know, one is probably two and the other's probably five. So these three people have a combination of two iPads, one iPhone, and one MacBook Pro. And none of it is stopping this little motherfucking asshole from crying.
That's the problem.
And then you know what this fucking asshole does? Well, first of all, I thought, where's the wife? You know, maybe they're divorced. Well, you know, suddenly
She's in first class.
Exactly. That's exactly right. How did you know?
I just guessed.
She was in fucking first class.
Honey, you take the first class.
Yeah,
you know, she's a Jewish mother. She's a Jewish wife. She better have first class.
Oh, and I'm sure she doesn't. And she comes running back as if she's concerned, like feigning concern, once the entire flight. And she's like, oh, you know, and when she came, the kid did shut up. And then she's like gone, and I never saw her again.
Well, the inherent problem is that that's the way they relate as a family through their iPads, iPhones, yeah. iFarts. They don't have a relationship. They don't have a relationship, those children. Can you imagine?
And the kid hasn't learned how to relate through his iPad yet, so he's screaming. But, you know, and then the last thing is that this motherfucker, his battery went low.
Oh, dear.
So he unwrapped his newly purchased airplane MacBook Pro charging adapter. This sounds so stupid. I can't believe it's real. He unwraps his MacBook Pro airplane charging thing, and he says to me, excuse me, yes, I need to charge my laptop, and you're in the row that has the AC, the outlet.
Oh, my God. You know what I would have said? What? I would have said, you shut your fucking kit up. You can plug into my plug.
Oh, I should have said that. That would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
So what, did you have to have his laptop on your lap the whole trip?
No. I I plugged it in and I gave the wire to his annoying friend who was behind me, and he had it on his desk, so it wasn't really a problem. But it was just so funny that he was so, the technology was so important to him, but the fact that his kid was screaming
was not a was just priority.
Fine. He didn't hear it. And this, like, even the stewardesses were looking mortified, or whatever you call them, flight attendant, and they were looking mortified. Everybody was looking mortified.
At what point does somebody just say, is he okay?
Well, that's what the flight attendant said. Do you need water or something?
Valium?
Yeah.
A scotch?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. Are we going a full hour or are we cooling it here?
It doesn't matter. Probably we should just do the normal 45, but it hasn't been 45 yet, or has it?
Yes, it has.
Oh, it has. Oh, okay. I didn't look the clock right.
Yeah. So with that, my darlings here on Eat This Hot Show and all the wonderful listeners, can't believe that you would. I want to take an opportunity to say thank you for listening and
then
for letting you know that you... I'm going to. If you if you could find it in your heart for just moments, to not interject the vile, bile-filled garbage that you do. If you could manage to just shut up.
Are you talking to
like
your loveys or me?
I know. I've lost it.
Yeah. No, I'm talking to Madge Weinstein.
Well, you were
mouth.
Talking to your loveys, and then all of a sudden you started spewing
I would like to take an opportunity
hate.
To thank all of the audience. Not just my loveys, all of the audience for listening to Eat This Hot Show. And to say, if you're interested in finding me, you can find me at veraspeaks.com. And I would also like to thank my lovely co-host for this particular episode, Wanda Wisdom. Please say bye-bye and tell everybody where they can find your particular brand of magic.
Well, thank you, Vera. I am so happy that I could be with my lovely lady listeners today, as with all the other days that I get to do this. If you want to hear the show that I host, you can go on over to WandaWisdom.com.
Have you ever, Wanda, gotten anybody that said they're upset for calling everyone ladies?
No.
Okay.
And also with us today was one fabulous, big-mouthed pain in the ass who was in a particularly fine frame of mind, Madge Weinstein. Why don't you say bye-bye and tell everybody where they can find you?
I would just like to say that my radio
then
program
say it.
Is called... Fuck you. Touche.
Uh-huh.
My radio program is called Yeast Radio, and you just go to yeastradio.com. And also, that the Dutch word for lips is schaamlippe. Which literally means shame lips.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Bye.
Toodles.
Bye-bye. And there's a very helpful woman here named Meep.